triumphant from all our foes. Through the crucible unscathed, we passed victorious. Our trumpets pealing the glorious song. Play it, sing it, all hail Biafra. All hail Biafra. We shall always remember all that perished in the struggle for our freedom. All hail our heroes. Our prayer shall be known both day and night.
Good evening, wonderful people, great Biafrans, wherever you are on this planet. We are welcoming you to today's edition of the News Hour, coming to you from the studios of Radio Biafra here in London, live and direct to wherever you are on this planet. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. On this day, the 6th of August in the year of our Lord 2013, I am saying good morning, as always, good afternoon, good evening, even good night to some people. The reason why we greet people in this manner is because Radio Biafra is listened to in every country on this planet. Radio Biafra is broadcast across every time zone on this planet. Wherever you are, we are welcoming you once again. We come to you 7 p.m. every evening from London to the entire humanity. We are delighted you are able to join us. Radio Biafra can be received via any of the following websites. It is www.radiobiafra.co.co, not .com, .co. Please tell your friends, correct them. If they are trying to go to .com, you tell them it is .co. Tell them that they can also get Radio Biafra via peopleofbiafra.org. People of Biafra, all one word, .org. They can also get us via Bilie Human Rights, with an S at the end, .org. They can also get us via the Indigenous People of Biafra, indigenouspeopleofbiafra.org. You can join us on our live interactive session later on during this program. Give us about, say, 40 minutes, because we have quite a lot to get through today. We'll announce it on the air when it is prudent, when it is safe for you to call us. You can get us either through the phone or via Skype. If we announce other platforms, we'll keep taking calls all night, won't be able to do anything. That's why we decided to restrict it to only two. You can get us via Radio Biafra main studio line, which is +44 78 31 30 8376. Again, it's +44 78 31 30 8376. Or you simply add Radio Biafra to your Skype contact list. Even if we don't accept you, you can still call Radio Biafra and we'll try and take your call. If you've been calling Radio Biafra, we're not trying to restrict you, but please, we would like to prioritize for all our new callers. If you call us for the very first time, we'll try to get your opinion and to get your voice. For that reason and that reason alone, please, we will advise you, if you're a regular caller, to allow those who are calling for the very first time to be able to air their views. We are welcoming you once again wherever you are. And that this is Radio Biafra. I am Nnamdi Kanu once again. I happen to be the host and director of Radio Biafra, and by the very special grace of God, a servant of the wonderful people of Biafra. I am proud and delighted to say that we have Carol Monday in the studios of Radio Biafra with us. Barrister Mamezu is with us via a secure line, and also our dear sister Chidera, a newscaster, is all the way in Johnson City in Texas. Not Texas, in Tennessee, if I must say. Please do pardon me. I spent a lot of time in Texas, so he hasn't actually left my subconscious. Chidera is at Johnson City in Tennessee, where she'll be presenting the news to us from. Once again, please tell your friends and your family. Make an effort to tell them. And also, if you have not added your friends, we are compiling the names of those who have added their friends. Two people did excellently well earlier today. We are asking you to go to Radio Biafra London on Facebook group. Not the page. We'll deal with the page later on. The group. Ask to join the group. And also invite your friends. If you don't know how to do it, as some people have done, you ask for guidance, we'll be able to show you how to do it. If you do not add your friends there, we know you're a coward. You are afraid. You don't want your friends to know that you're a Biafran. In this very battle we're about to embark upon, or we have already started, we are not going to tolerate people who are afraid or ashamed of who they are. If you're afraid or ashamed of your Biafranness, then Radio Biafra is not a group or a platform that will tolerate people like you. We don't need cowards. Cowards will put down their arms and they will kill us. We don't need cowards with us. We need brave people, men and women. Go to Radio Biafra London and tell us that you are proud to be a Biafran by adding all your friends, not some of them. Don't be selective. Add everybody on your contact list. We want to get to 1 million because we are looking to demonstrate in every country of the world. We are looking to announce to humanity that there are Biafrans everywhere on this earth, and we want to utilize that very might to go and drive away the workers of iniquity from the temple of God, which is Biafra land itself, and from there we then confront our enemies. Please do not be afraid. 67 to 70 cannot be 2013 to 2015. Please, we are begging you. The world has changed a lot. In those days, we weren't able to broadcast every blessed day into every home all around the world. Okokondem and the crew at Voice of Biafra used to drive from one locality to the other to go and broadcast to our people. But now we can sit in London, or even indeed in Biafra land, or in Australia, Sydney in Australia, or in Israel, or in the USA, and we broadcast to every country on this very planet. That is why we welcome you. We ask you, please do not be afraid. We thank those from Chile that contacted Radio Biafra. Those from Brazil, we want to hear from you again. Our people from Mexico, you've gone a bit quiet. We don't know what is happening. I hope everybody's okay. Please do try and get in touch with us. Before we go to get you the news, headlines, and accompanying news roundup, I'll first of all go to Carol to greet all of you in our usual fashion. Please, Carol.
Good evening, everybody. Actually, I'm going to greet you all in a different way today. Hello to all the Biafrans out there that I know are listening tonight, and even President Goodluck, who I gather is an avid listener to Radio Biafra. I want to welcome the world tonight, just not the Biafrans and the Nigerians that are listening, but we've gathered a lot of people through Facebook who are humanitarians. We are obviously fighting the cause of Biafra, but we are fighting the cause for humanitarians across the world. There is modern day slavery in West Africa, murder, corruption in this African state, and now the rest of the world will be aware that Boko Haram is a big threat to everybody, and they are a diplomatic state, and they are now being forced to become an Islamic nation, and I hope everybody's listening. So good evening, everybody.
Thank you very much, and we'll go to Chidera, please.
Hello, wonderful people of Biafra, good people of Biafra, and friends of Biafra, wherever you are on the planet. I'm saying good morning, good afternoon, even good night to some of you. My name is Chidera Akabo, and I'm welcoming you to today's edition of the broadcast from here, Johnson City, Tennessee, United States.
Thank you very, very much. We also have the very eminent barrister and attorney at law, Barrister Mamezu, with us today, please. Dear barrister, say good afternoon, good morning, good night, and good evening to our listeners all over the world, please.
The rector has said for me, and everybody is welcomed for today's edition broadcast. You're welcome.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. We welcome you also. That this is Radio Biafra. When we speak, people listen. Some people are already adding their friends onto the Radio Biafra London Facebook group. Everybody must do the same. We will go through all the names. If you have not added your friends, you'll be deleted from the Facebook group. You shouldn't be there in the first place. We can excuse you if you're not a Biafran. But if you are a born Biafran with a Biafran name and you are on Radio Biafra London Facebook group and your friends are not there, you have not announced to the world that you're a Biafran, you have no business there. You shouldn't be there. We don't want cowards with us. If the ladies can do it, how about the men? We know all of you one after the other. If you don't know how to do it, please do not be ashamed. You can inbox Carol Monday. You can inbox Chidera. You can inbox anybody amongst. You can even George Agogo. Uche Mefo is there. There are people you can inbox and they will help you. They will guide you. They will show you and they will tell you what to do. Announce it openly. Say to them, I only have a mobile phone. I don't know how to add people. You will see those who will come to your rescue. We are here to drag ourselves away from the Zoological Republic of Nigeria. We are here to, I'm very grateful to the person who tried to correct, not tried to. That was a typographical error in one of the posts I made. Was it 2 days ago? Was it yesterday? I can't remember anymore. We are here to announce to the world, unapologetically, I hasten to add, that the march towards the restoration of Biafra is relentless, that we are not going to stop, we are not going to prevaricate, we are not going to relent, we are not going to retreat, neither are we going to surrender. That this march we are embarking upon is ordained by God Himself, and we have evidence to that. Everything we have been doing, the very rare technology that we broadcast with, the support that we are receiving, the blessing that we are receiving from people, all the fasting, all the accolade, all the praises, and all the glory that belongs to God signifies that this time around our things are very, very different. We don't want there to be many of us in number. Very few of us will do this. As I said yesterday, I'll repeat today. The reason why we want very few people to be able to accomplish the restoration of Biafra is very simple. So that our children and their children and their children and their children and every other generation to come from Biafra land until man ceases to walk the face of the earth will know that Biafra was restored due to the goodness, the mercy, and the kindness of Chukwu Abiyama. Not by what we did. We want the physical manifestation of the greatness of Jehovah to be evident in our lifetime so that we may know that that very land which we are fighting to extricate from bondage, extricate from slavery, extricate from degradation, extricate from marginalization, is the dwelling place of the Most High. That is why we are not afraid of any human being. The only person we are afraid of is God Himself in heaven. Without God, we can't get Biafra. We know that for sure. We are not pagans. We love God more than any other race. That is why when Yorubas open churches, we empty ourselves there. We sleep in the church. My own mother is an example. She doesn't go to Pentecostal church, by the way. Because if she does, I'll disown her. Because this is Radio Biafra and we speak the truth. Not only the truth, we present it in a way that everybody will be able to understand. Please, Chidera, could you kindly give us the news headlines and accompany news roundup, please, upon which our analysis, our discussions, our report, our deliberations will happen this evening. Please, go ahead.
The news headlines. Return to negotiation table, Sultan urges ASUU and condoles with NUJ. Boko Haram attacks police base in Borno State and killed 35. Kerosene shortage in Nigeria is a national humiliation. Anambra youth, Lagos government deportation of 17 Igbo is an insult. Dr. Myla Fear, Middle Belt won't accept second-class citizens. And lastly, Chief Babatope faults Lagos government on deportation of Igbo. The news in full. The Sultan of Sokoto, Alhaji Mohammed Saad Abubakar, has urged members of the Academic Staff Union of Universities, ASU, to call off their ongoing strike and return to negotiating table with the government, just as he condoled Nigerian Union of Journalists, NUJ, over the recent death of three of its officials in a ghastly motor accident in Osun State. The Sultan, who is the Chancellor of Ahmadu Bello University, ABU Zaria, stated this on Sunday during a Ramadan breakfast he organized for Sokoto working journalists and a 20-man delegation of the Peace and Reconciliation Foundation of Nigeria. He illustrated that the poor state of Nigerian universities with ABU Zaria, which had to raise funds from public donations to meet up with some of its requirements. He said the donation of 2.5 billion naira worth of building structure to ABU by former Defense Minister General Theophilus Danjuma was one of the measures aimed at bridging the gap between what the universities want and what was being provided by the government. Fresh attacks by gunmen suspected to be members of Boko Haram Islamic sect has left at least 35 persons dead, including two soldiers and a policeman, with several others injured in Borno State, military officials said. The spokesman of the Joint Task Force, JTF, Lieutenant Colonel Sage Musa, said Boko Haram members, who had threatened to launch massive attacks as Ramadan ends, lived out their threats by launching coordinated attacks on Sunday. Mr. Musa said, troops have successfully repelled Boko Haram attack on a mobile police base in Bama town. The sect members, using sophisticated weapons and improvised explosive devices, IEDs, launched attacks at about 6:45 a.m. on Sunday. The chairman, House Committee on Petroleum Downstream, Honorable Dakuki Peterside, has described the lingering kerosene scarcity across the country as a national embarrassment. Dakuku made the statement in Calabar, Cross River State, during his committee's oversight visit to Pipelines and Products Marketing Company, PPMC, and other private oil facilities in the city. Peterside, who spoke with officials of PPMC marketers, retailers, and consumers of kerosene, said the prevailing scarcity of the product is not only an embarrassment, but also denial of basic rights of the ordinary Nigerians who bear the brunt of national challenges such as this. He said, "This scarcity is a national embarrassment, and with every reported case in any part of the country, we feel diminished as a people. Therefore, we must address it because it is unacceptable. Our people should not suffer. There is no reason to suffer in the midst of plenty." A socio-political group, Anambra Youth, has condemned Lagos State government for dumping 70 indigents of Anambra State at Onitsha Bridge, saying the action amounted to an insult on the people of the state. It also slayed a member of the House of Representatives, Abiodun Adeleke, for alleging that Aviation Minister Princess Stella Odua awarded contracts for remodeling of airports across the country without due process. President of the group, Uche Ifeanyi Okonkwo, said the actions were designed to demonize Anambra State and its people. According to the group, the attacks show that in spite of efforts by the people of Anambra and other Igbos to regard the people of the Southwest as their brothers and partners in progress, the dominant party in the region has not stopped stabbing the Igbos in the back. Former Deputy Governor of the Central Bank of Nigeria, CBN, Dr. Obadiah Mylafia, has said that Middle Belt ethnic minorities should no longer be regarded as second-class citizens in the North. Mylafia said this while presenting a paper entitled "Harnessing Your Economic Potential Towards Self-Reliance" during the Youth Summit of Southern Kaduna People's Forum in Tafanchan. He said the era of core northerners skimming the Middle Belt people out in the sharing of the national cake was over. Mylafia, who is the Chief of Staff, African, Caribbean and Pacific Group of States, Brussels, Belgium, also rejected a few constituencies allocated to Southern Kaduna, stressing that it would no longer be acceptable by the people of the zone. A chieftain of People's Democratic Party, PDP, Chief Ebenezer Babatope has condemned the action of Lagos State Governor Babatunde Raji Fashola for deporting 72 indigents of Anambra State last month. In a statement issued in Lagos Sunday, Chief Babatope, who was the Director of Publicity of the defunct Unity Party of Nigeria, UPN, in the Second Republic, said, "I have read all arguments on the deportation of some Anambra State indigents living in Lagos by the Fashola administration. I submit that the action is highly regrettable, illegal, as well as being a grand assault on the fundamental rights of the affected Nigerians under the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. Babatunde Fashola must urgently reverse this disturbing policy with apologies to the affected Nigerians. Although Governor Fashola has a good record of performance in office, his present action will destroy his credibility. All well-meaning Nigerians must denounce this obnoxious policy." This is the news of today, 6th of August, 2013. Over to you, Director.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much, dear sister Chidera. This is Radio Biafra once again, if you're just joining us, that the time has just gone 20 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. here in London, summer evening in London. There is still sunlight outside when certain people, although we're in the same time zone where we are in Biafra land, some of them may be asleep by this time, but here there is still light outside and people are still moving about. We are welcoming you once again, if you're just joining us, that this is Radio Biafra. We've just given you the news headline and what we'll call news roundup. But let us attempt to delve into the content of the news. Let us attempt to bring it to your knowledge what we are trying to do. Let us make people understand what is happening in the Zoological Republic of Nigeria, why we call it a zoo. Today we are going to prove to our doubters, we are going to prove to all the one Nigerians amongst Biafrans that their trust in Nigeria is misplaced, that their hope in the sustenance of the territorial integrity of the Zoological Republic of Nigeria is not only misguided, but that they are playing a very foolish game. This is the news that was brought to you today, our sister read out, that the Sultan of Sokoto, his name is Alhaji Muhammad Saad Abubakar, is urging members of the Academic Staff Union of Universities, we are asking today, whichever country that you're in the last 1 year, in the last 2 years, in the last 3 years, in the last 4, 5, 6, 7, in the last 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years, how many times have university lecturers gone on strike where you are? How many times? The answer is probably none. But in the zoo, they go on strike at will, jeopardizing the future of the children, making sure that the people they churn out, they hurriedly manage them, graduate them from universities. Some of them can't even spell their names properly. And then the Yoruba pastors take over from where they left off. And then the damage is complete. When you're speaking to them, they look human to you. They look normal. They wear trousers. They wear skirt. They wear blouse. Some even have eye pencil. They look human. They talk like human beings. But they are empty. They are like automatons. They are like robots. They have nothing in their skull. Ever since this killing against Biafran people has been going on in the northern part of the zoo, ever since the slaughter, the senseless slaughter of our people has been going on, has anyone heard the Sultan of Sokoto apologize to Igbo people or say, "I am sorry for the death being caused in the name of Islam"? The answer is no. But the Sultan was commiserating with journalists that died in a motor accident openly in the national media. He asked his pressmen to put this thing out in the public. Today, we are asking the Sultan of Sokoto, how many times have you been seen commiserating with bereaved families of Igbo people? You are the owner of Nigeria. Nigeria is in your pocket. You decide who lives and who dies. Nigeria is an Islamic country. We are a minority in Nigeria. We know that. So you said, not in number, but you said so. So we are going by the official statistics of Nigeria. That is why only those in the north can decide to vote for a president and Nigeria will have one. Because census was rigged in 1953 to your advantage with the help of the British, unfortunately. Today you sit at the helm of affairs in the country. Let us look at what the Sultan had to say so that our people understand why Nigeria is a zoo and why we need to get Biafra as quickly as possible. Somebody donated 2.5 billion. His name is the former defense minister. His name is General Theophilus Danjuma, a retired army officer. Where did a retired army officer get 2.5 billion? Before you donate 2.5 billion, you must have somewhere in the region of 20-30 billion. Where did a military officer get up to 20 billion to be able to donate 2.5 of it to Ahmadu Bello University? We are asking this evening, anybody that knows any university in Biafra land that has benefited from anybody at all, be it an act of charity, philanthropy, it could be anything. Has any university in Igbo land received 2.5 billion before from one individual? No. This is the man that killed Agu Ironsi. This 2.5 billion came from Biafra land. It came from Egbema, Ohaji Egbema, Oguta. It came from Okwa. This money came from our mama, but we don't see any of it. Somebody who is an army officer, we are asking the British people, the American people, everybody that says that Nigeria must be one, how many of your generals are billionaires? How many generals in Britain are billionaires? Is there anywhere in the recorded history of Britain where a retired army officer went to Oxford University to go and fund a seat at Oxford or Cambridge? Only in the zoo. That is why I tell people that when somebody describes him or herself as a Nigerian, I look at you as if you are beneath contempt. You cannot be a human being. Ahmadu Bello University benefited from Theophilus Danjuma. The Sultan of Sokoto is praising him. Let us see or even hear what the Sultan, I can imagine myself being there looking at him talking. The Sultan is saying that himself and other traditional rulers would offer to collect copies of the agreement purportedly reached between ASUU and the federal government to negotiate on behalf of the members of the union. I don't know if the Sultan of Sokoto is a university lecturer. Nobody knows. He is an ordinary honorary president or whatever it is of Ahmadu Bello University. He is offering to go and lead negotiations with the government. Then he went on to say, we should pray to Allah to make our passage to be very easy when our time comes. Our people, I don't know, there was a handwriting on the wall somewhere. Who was in charge? I don't know the king. Was it, I don't know the king in the Bible who was in charge when the handwriting was on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel or person or whatever it's called. That the end has come. The end has come for our people. The handwriting is on the wall. They can't read it. The Sultan of Sokoto hasn't said he's sorry for the killing of Igbo people. He's not even saying that he's sorry what people are doing in the name of Islam. He is telling us that Danjuma gave them 2.5 billion without telling us where Danjuma got the money from. He's now telling us that we should all pray to God, Allah, to make their passage to be easy when their time comes. It is incredible. If not that I am reading some of these things, if a reporter brings this to me, I will say you are dreaming. But this is what is happening in the zoo. This very man never had the time to condemn the killing of 35 more people by Boko Haram. No. But it's not news, because the killing by Boko Haram happens and continues every blessed day. And there is kerosene shortage in Nigeria. Oh my God. Kerosene, for people who do not know, is a derivative from crude oil. This is the crude oil that Shell, Agip, Chevron, all the rest of them, they drill and they get. If you go to Biafra land, tanker after tanker is there loading up with this fresh oil, delivering it to all corners of the globe. But where we come from, there is no kerosene. The same thing that we are putting in ships to go to other places and be funding or basically running other civilizations, where we then come to come and look for work or to come and start doing cleaning job, doing care job, washing plates in hotels, being changing bed sheet in hotels. They take our oil to these people, yet we don't have kerosene to cook. There is kerosene shortage in Nigeria. And yet people say they are Nigerians. We are proud to be Nigerian. I can't understand these people for goodness sake. From which planet did they emerge from? You don't have kerosene, but the oil has been flowing since time immemorial. Oil has been flowing every blessed day, morning, noon, and night. It doesn't stop. Why then do we have kerosene shortage? Why? Because monkeys are in charge. It is a zoo. Men who claim they studied economics but don't know the factors of production. People that claim they learned or they read town planning without being able to organize the construction of a small, low-cost estate. This is what happens in a country where men and women are not intelligent. They are not intelligent at all. I challenge anybody to produce any monkey from Nigeria telling me that person is intelligent. They are not intelligent people. They are not intelligent people. If not, you will not have scarcity of kerosene when the people you are supplying crude oil to has it in abundance. Yet you don't have any. Shame on all of them. Anambra used to see protesting about the deportation from Lagos of our people. 70 of us, we are bundled into various vehicles and dumped at Head Bridge. It's still reverberating. The Yorubas are not apologizing for it. Of course they won't. But a few of them are speaking, as always. But we are also telling you this evening that the Middle Belt people are saying they will not accept second-class citizens. Our question to our people this evening is this. What grade, what tier of citizenship are we Igbo people, the Biafran people? They say they won't accept second-class citizens in citizenship in Nigeria. What are we? I'm putting us at 10th class. Where there is no other person. 10th class. Because we have first class, second class, third class in Nigeria. Even fourth class, the Middle Belt people. And then there is a gap from there is nobody at fifth class, sixth, seventh, eighth, nine. Then you have Igbo people at 10th class. That's where we are. This is Radio Biafra. We speak the truth always, because without the truth, we are nothing. And that is why we say that Radio Biafra is whiter than white. That is why we make bold to say all the time that if you have anything against us, come and say it. We stand proudly to proclaim to the whole world that Radio Biafra and the staff of Radio Biafra are incorruptible. 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 So that we may know that we are here to serve you in truth and honesty. Nothing more, nothing less. The only other side to that is that we don't tolerate any nonsense. We don't suffer fools very easily. We tell you the truth the way it is. That is our news this evening, please. Yes, before I come to Carol, let me go to Barrister Emam Mezu. Please, Barrister, you have heard the headlines. You have heard the accompanying news roundup and also the summary we are presenting. Which aspect of the news catches your attention? Is it what the so-called Sultan of Sokoto is doing? Is it the continued shame and humiliation of our people? Is it the scarcity or shortage of kerosene? Or is it the fact that we now are 10th class? There is nobody inhabiting 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 9th class. We are at number 10. No man's land. Please go ahead. The world is listening.
Yes, sir. All the information on board are very interesting. But the one that catches my fancy is that of Sultan of Sokoto trying to convince just three journalists that died in a road accident. Was it yesterday? 14? That is, I shouldn't mention the number. 14 children were mowed down to their death. And yet, the Sultan did not even say anything. I mean, this is the kind of thing that makes some of us very angry. How many number of children? Because you see, even in the Western world, whenever you are doing anything, don't let it affect children or women. But back home, that zoological country, there is no preference. Child, old, young, women, everything is just the same. 14 children died. Not even a word from the so-called Sultan of Sokoto, who is the god of Nigeria, as he is. But just three journalists that died. He's able to bring all his press men to say, oh, send them my own condolence words. Tell them how we feel. So those three are equal to or more than 14. Now, further to that, he was saying that we should say thanks to Allah for the Theophilus Danjuman at the 2 point something billion 2. Of 5. Nigerian money.
2.5 billion. Not of Biafran money, not Nigeria. Nigeria has no money.
2.5 billion, our money. No electricity. No good roads. No good hospital, because the guy himself who gave this amount, if he's sick, is looking either to go to Germany, United States, or come to Britain. This is the problem we have. This is why we can never. I say those who are clamoring and praying for Nigeria to be together, may they not see the Nigeria that is coming in the next how many years to come.
Amen.
May they not live to see it. That commoners should carry on suffering, the owners of the produce that makes Nigeria what it is. They don't see a single benefit of what came out from their land. Even in Yoruba, when I was a little boy before I came to this country, whenever you're going to fetch water in the Yoruba man's landlord who built a house where you're living, you're going to get water, they'll tell you to drop what they call owo ile. That is money for the ground where that water is coming from. There is no money for those where the oil is coming from. But T. Danjuma has this amount of money to donate to a university. Where is that university? In the north. No matter how much they try to study, they can still not beat the Biafrans. What about the system of education? What about the quota they raised for Biafrans? Yet, even if they give 0% to the Biafrans, they are still cannot equate to what is in the head of Biafrans. Director, all we are waiting is time. There is no measure. There is no amount of pressure that can make us to carry on with this Nigeria business. It has not favored us. It will not favor us. And anybody who is playing on one Nigeria, may they die in this Nigerian business that has not favored the Biafran. We die every day. Amen. Nobody hears anything mentioned about it. But we can now commemorate three journalists that died, but the 14 and the other bombing of our people on a daily basis. So that will tell you that all these are calculated, sponsored. Every time we hear Boko Haram, somebody said it, that Boko Haram was just a name, that what is happening to the Afrans, a collective contribution of all the northerners to exterminate the Biafrans. And that is what it is. Whichever way you look at it, we've seen the whole result. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Yes, Carol, what takes your fancy? What are you observing? What do you want to talk about? What is it that you want to enlighten us on, please?
It's the petroleum. To me, it's just laughable. I say it all the time that Nigeria is a state that has so much oil and has so much manpower.
No, not Nigeria, Biafra.
No, Nigeria on a whole. You have a kerosene crisis in Nigeria, yes?
Yes.
Okay, this is a petroleum. They're saying, I use the word petroleum, because kerosene is distilled from petroleum.
Yeah, from crude oil.
So it's laughable to me to read this, to read that there is a kerosene problem, because, and I, like I said, there is more manpower and more oil in Nigeria than Dubai. You see how productive Dubai is, though. Everybody goes on holiday over there. Look at these countries. Look at Nigeria. Why is it in this state? Why is there no kerosene? in a country that is full of petroleum? Can it not be distilled from the petroleum in state? Why are the people looking for kerosene? Because there's not electricity. So they can't use powers in their house. So they turn into kerosene equipment, kerosene lamps, kerosene cookers, because there's no electricity. The country is just laughable. I can't even comment anymore because it's just hilarious now.
It is hilarious. That is what we're living with. That is what we are living with. That is the consequence of what Frederick Lugar did, who is singularly the agent of Lucifer, conceived in hell and brought to this earth to come and destroy God's creation, which is the Biafran people. Yes, Chidera, I don't know what to make of the news that you yourself presented. I don't know if there's any part of it that you feel like either talking or commenting about. Please.
Yes, three parts of it, actually. With what the Sultan said about Asu, it really just it brought back a very I would say very terrible memories, because I used to be a victim to the Asu strike. I remember in 2009 there was an indefinite Asu strike, which we stayed at home for about 3 to 4 months. And for someone like me that was studying medicine then, just medicine is 6 years in Nigeria, it added one more year to my stay in school, plus the pre-medicine I did for a year. So I was to be there for 8 years. And if I was still in University of Port Harcourt by now, and probably with this indefinite strike, I've added 1 year, and it would get to probably 9 to 10 years, which I could use to do so many things in my life. So it's a shame that Nigeria has not passed the stage of indefinite strike and they're still going through it. It's really, really a shame. This is the reason why we need to get Biafra, because I know, I am very sure, I can vouch for Biafra that this kind of thing cannot happen, because the government will be so organized that all the lecturers will be paid and there will be no need for strike. Also, concerning what, of course, is not going to condole anybody in the Igbo land concerning what happened to us, because they are the people killing us. So if someone that is killing you comes to tell you sorry, then it doesn't really make sense. So we shouldn't even bother, because we know that they're all part of it. They are the people killing us. And for the issue of kerosene, it's always been like that, and it still has continued. This is something that is really, really, it pains me so much, because our people are going through a lot. This kerosene comes from our land, because that's where it's a derivative of oil. So how come that the people that own it, those that it's coming from, cannot even enjoy it? Because I'm very sure that this shortage, they're saying, yeah, Nigeria in general, but it's more, the people that are suffering it more are the people from the southeast, because they've already made provision for them if they're not, because hangman Nigeria, according to you. So these are the things that we really need to consider and come together to get Biafra, because I am very sure that if Biafra comes, all these places, this oil that goes to them, that I think you said there is a pipeline in Ibadan, they will all be closed down, because you cannot be in another country and be sending your oil to another. It doesn't happen. All those things will be closed down, and we will use our resources to develop our own nation, and our people wouldn't need to suffer anymore. That's what I have to say.
No, but Chidera, if they want oil, we can give them for free. We're not doing anything with it.
They will buy.
You see, our people need to understand that we have what it takes to be able to run our country and our economy without being dependent on oil. Oil is the mainstay of the economy of very lazy people. People who can't reason, people who can't think. Japan has no oil. The USA doesn't depend on their oil. Taiwan doesn't depend on oil. None of these countries depends on any of these proceeds from the ground. No, we have our white matter in our head, which is our brain, that God in his infinite mercy gave to us, and that is what we're going to use to develop Biafra.
It's the gray matter. The gray matter is more important than the white one. That's why human beings are very different from animals, because in animals, they ask any medical doctor, they will tell you the white matter is larger in animals, but in human beings, the gray matter is larger. That's where the main thing is.
That is
right.
We have the brain to be able to do so. We have somebody who has been waiting on the phone for a very long time. Please, we'll go to him to take his call. He'll be our first caller for the day. The lines are now open. Please, if we pick your call on Skype, don't terminate. Stay where you are. We'll come to you. You stay on hold. It's not costing you more than your internet connection. Stay where you are and we'll come to you. Definitely not when we take your call. You wait for your voice to be heard. If you can't hear it, then you terminate the call. No, please stay where you are. We are stacking it up. We'll come to you one after the other to be able to get your opinion. Let's now go to the phone line. Please give us your name and where you are. the caller on the phone. This is Radio Biafra. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good evening. Yes, I can hear you.
Good evening. Please go ahead. This is Radio Biafra. Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Onoche Jerry Itacho.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I'm from Obita, but I'm here in London.
Yes. We are listening. The world is listening. This is Radio Biafra. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to thank you people for the job you are doing. You are serving the people dedicatedly, and we are glad to have you there. And I want to comment on. First of all, I want to comment on the deportation of the 70 or 72 Biafrans from Lagos.
Yes.
My question now is, I don't know Yoruba people in Anambra State. What is Obi doing sitting there? Are they doing? I don't know Yoruba people in Anambra State. In Onitsha, there are Yoruba people. Oka, there are Yoruba people. Can't we get them deported back to Lagos and let the war start? Let us start it with the Yorubas now that they have entered. They have entered into the trouble that the war started. Now, why don't we give it back to the Yorubas? Obi is sitting down idle as if there are no Yoruba people in Onitsha or in Oka. All Anambra, all throughout Anambra. I don't want to talk about Imo State because already I know that the governor of Imo State is a Sokoto man. And so that is wrong. Now, if I am taking the second topic about what Danjuma, the direction Danjuma donated to the university in the north. Why would you donate such money when they have given every block that does not belong to the north, that does not belong to Danjuma, that does not belong to anybody in Nigeria apart from the Biafran land? They gave it to Danjuma, and he has so enriched himself to the extent that he could donate 2.7 billion. Challenge you like that, a military officer. Look, why I am so upset with this matter is because I was in the Biafran army. I joined the Nigerian Air Force after the war, and I don't want to. Sometimes I begin to wonder if Danjuma was to be paid 1 million a month as a general throughout his stay in the army.
Yes.
Will Danjuma have up to 2.7 billion?
No.
He will not. He has. I am talking from experience. How much is the military being paid? It's not because they are stealing. His salary from the first day he entered the army to the day he left the army, cannot be up to 1 billion.
That is true.
And I can tell you here and there. Everybody, the whole world is hearing what I'm saying. Ubuta, which is an oil producing community, the highest oil producing community in Imo State, followed by Edoma, followed by Ohaji, and we have there's no light in Ubuta for the past 1 year and 6 months. I am not saying that they got light in January and they didn't get in February. No, I am saying continuously for 1 year and 6 months, there's no. That's not like it, Ubuta.
No.
Let
us understand it. Let us make this thing very, very clear and put it into context so that our listeners and all the friends of Biafra listening can appreciate what you're saying. We will come to ask you the sectors where you served during the war that we fought against this people. You are saying that the place where oil is coming from in Biafra land, there is no electricity. But the people we are sending the oil to, they have light.
Yes.
Oh God in heaven. Okay, go ahead.
There is no light in Ubuta for the past 1 year and 6 months, quote me that I said so. And if anybody says a lie, let him challenge me. If anybody has gotten light from whatever they call it, NEPA or power holding in Nigeria, for the past 1 year and 6 months in Ubuta, let the person tell me, because I work in Ubuta, and I stayed 3 months in Ubuta, and I bought a fuel until for my best generator until I left. I can tell you how much I spent on fuel alone. Yes, I thought the things will improve. But as I'm speaking with you tonight, there is no light in Ubuta. And since I left, there has never been light.
My goodness. So
what kind of abomination is that? Somebody who is producing oil. Somebody who has, you have two flow stations in Ubuta. One by Shell, one is Agip. I am telling you categorically that this is unheard of, that people who produce oil will be in darkness for 1 year and 6 months. Yet somebody from the north has oil block, and you are so acquired the world that you could throw away 2.something billion. No. I cannot understand it.
You have spoken.
I cannot understand it.
Neither can we.
If there is anybody in Igbo land that wants to belong to Nigeria, that person should be chased out of Igbo land, because that person is not an Igbo.
Are you, sorry, can I ask you, you are a veteran, you fought the war. Can I ask you, please, are you living in the UK or are you visiting?
I am living here in the UK.
Okay. And which particular sector? Because anytime it through, you know, people come and say with the fought in the war, when they open their mouth, you know, they didn't see any action. Because
I am telling you, I fought in Uruba sector, and that is where I finished and I came back. I joined the Nigerian Air Force in 1978. I left the Air Force because I disagreed with their policies. I left the Air Force as a squadron leader, which is major equivalent. I had no problem. I voluntarily put in resignation 3 good times, and they rejected my resignation, and I walked away from them.
It's incredible. Thank you so much.
They are hearing me. So anybody who is in the Nigerian Air Force said I am telling lies. Let the person challenge me. If anybody in the Biafra who fought in the Ubuta sector, yes, my name, and say he doesn't know me, let that person challenge me.
You have spoken like a veteran. You have spoken like a true veteran. Thank you very much. A lot of people are coming out, and that is what we would like to hear. Thank you very much. Thank you very, very
thank
much.
You.
For thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will continue what we are doing, and that thing is very simple. It's called telling people the truth. Let's go and take this call. Then we go back to Barrister Manmezu to give us his opinion. Please, the caller on Skype, give us your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening all over the world. This is Elisha Michael calling from Malaysia.
Yes, Malaysians are good people. Go ahead.
First and foremost, I want to use my good office as a PRO of the Biafran volunteer team here in Malaysia to call on all the Biafran in Malaysia to kindly join us in all that we are doing here in Malaysia to really fight for the restoration of Biafra, our land. And secondly, I want to call on our leaders in different districts in Malaysia, the Damaed leader, Nwogo Nyebuchi, Kajan leader, Paul Eze Obi, Salayang leader, Chukwudi Ike Nwachukwu, Puchon leader, Okafor Tochukwu, to really try and use your good office to do the work which you have been committed to do. All we are doing is a selfless service to encourage people for the restoration of the sovereign state of Biafra. Lastly, from the caption of today's news, what really touched my heart here or my mind is the issue of the scarcity of kerosene. I will say for the first time in the in media, this is the first time we are hearing about the issue of kerosene. I lived all my life until 3 years ago. I came to Malaysia. In Nigeria, there has been kerosene scarcity every year. And the unfortunate thing about this kerosene scarcity, it is the downtrodden, the poor that is suffering for this kerosene issue. These people that has been affected does not have light in their house, and still they still rated Nigeria as the sixth largest oil producing country in the world. I wonder if the world is really doing something. I wonder if the United Nations is really scrutinizing the Nigeria economy. I wonder if the United Nations is really scrutinizing the Nigerian leadership to really know what is actually happening in Nigeria. I have written to BBC. So even if they cannot do anything, let them just listen to Radio Biafra and get the unadulterated news to broadcast to the world. My fellow Biafran, the lover of Biafran everywhere in the world, I call you people to join us to restore Biafra. We the Biafra have really suffered in this country called Nigeria. And I pray as we carry on, the good Lord will give us the strength to fight this battle and to win in Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless Biafran.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. We have also another caller. We asked you to stay and you stayed. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. Give us your name and where you are, please. We have Isaiah Oba. Can you hear us? Can he hear us? No, he can't hear what we are saying. We ask him to please try and call us back. Yes, yes, Carol, what is about this scarcity of kerosene? I'll come to you in a second. Let's try and take this call. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. Your name and where you are, please. Hello, can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me? No, there is something they have not done. There is something they have not done. Let's go to the phone. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are. The caller on the phone, can you give us your name, please, and where you are?
This is Magico.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, give us your name, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
My name is Simon Obonoko. I'm from Toronto, Canada.
Yes, that is our veteran from Canada. You are calling us today because a veteran called, and is that why you're calling?
No, I've been trying to get you to play, but in fact, I'm really mad. I just want Nigeria to continue this thing they're doing, because that's what they did in the past. In less than 6 weeks, we are this time, we get in a bad beach in Lagos. Next time, because this thing that got us so mad when we were young that we couldn't wait to get into the army and march to Lagos. Let them continue what they're doing, killing our boys with their truck and everything. Let them come in, they're waking the sleeping giants. Don't be left that when a song we used to react to Nigeria, come out the more, then the more. We used to sing that song, One Nigeria, because this one, it will be hell on earth. Let them continue and, you know, the thing is boiling. When it will spread, it will be a nuclear weapon in Nigeria. Thank you, Dada.
Thank you. Yes, very, very brief and straight to the point. The caller on Skype, give us your name and where you are, please.
Hello, good evening. My name is Isaiah Oba.
Isaiah Oba, there is you are at an airport. It sounds as if you're in an aeroplane or something.
Not yet.
No, because there is a lot of static. Yes, the static is too much. The static from your side is too much. You are near an electrical product that is staticking. That is the problem. You is better now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me? No. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Hello.
Yes, your name and where you are, please.
Turn your system. Hello, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, please reduce your system or you turn it off, please. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
No. He is waiting to hear his voice. Please, we have said it before. You don't wait to hear your voice. You continue speaking because we are very far away from you. Before our voice hits you, it takes about 3 seconds before our voice gets to you, because that is how fast sound can travel. We cannot cheat nature. Do we have a caller on the? No, they have gone. They've gone. Let's see if they're back here. This is Radio Biafra. Is your line stable now? No, is your line is not stable, I'm afraid. Yes, can you hear me now? Yes, turn your system off. Banyonya, speak to us on the phone, please.
I'm not on the system.
Okay, please go ahead. Give us your name and where you are, please.
You can hear me now?
Very well, live and direct, yes.
Beautiful, this is Mr. Richmond from Israel. I think you know me.
Yes, of course, Richmond, the very good man himself. You were cooking what I was eating in Israel, yes. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Well, let me first of all praise you for your efforts and all the other fans who are listening.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just have a very little lesson because I'm being disturbed. The Igbos being deported from Lagos, I don't understand the meaning.
The meaning is that they are no more wanted in Lagos. The meaning is that they are telling us we are less than animals. The meaning is that they are challenging us and saying, what can you do? The meaning is that the Yorubas do not love us, they do not fear us, they do not respect us. The meaning is that the Yorubas hold us in utter contempt. That's what it means.
Okay, Mr. Kalu, then what does that sound to the Igbo man? Because the Igbo people are still developing their place for them. The place they were being sacked from are the place where they have been developed. Like other places, like Alaba and so on and so forth. So what are they still doing there? Does it mean you don't have land? Or you don't have a place to be being developed in Igbo land? Or you have a place to be developed in Igbo land? So what is the meaning of all this? Why should our people try to turn all these efforts to a zero? It doesn't look okay. So we have so much class in Onitsha, in Enugu, and so many other places, Imo, Aba, and so on. So what is going on? So please, let us, this is very, very crucial. Let us stick to this particular point. Let us not just be talking about Ausa. Chadana, Sokoto, so on. How about now that of the Lagos State Governor? He's just deported. So in deported, if you don't do anything, you will have some killing also. I don't have much. Maybe I'll call you back later.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody is upset. Everybody is angry. That was our brother, Richmond, who is calling from Israel. Let us attempt to take this call to see if it will work this time around. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, your name and where you are. Hello, can you hear me? That is the problem that we have. Our people don't understand how sound travels. Can you hear me? No, he cannot hear me. We are going to the line to speak to Barrister Mamezu, please. Barrister, if you're there, make...
Barrister, I'm here.
Yes,
please. I'm here, Director.
What do you make of what you've heard so far? A lot of people are upset.
Yeah, well, you can see. It's evident. It is evident as you know that the guy with the veteran who called earlier said how much he was at home using the generator and buying petrol. Whilst the place that goes and takes our oil, they have light. Director, these people have done it in a way that is so copious, it's so obvious, it's so open. That even a dead person, even a blind person can see that we are suffocated by the Northerners. And they are not hiding it. They are not excusing it. They are not sorry about it. They know what they are doing deliberately. What's upsetting me is that the Western world are keeping very quiet. And some of our own people are even supporting them to carry on all these atrocities as they see fit. Somebody called about two or three people in there and said, why can't we start this problem since the Eurobans have brought it before us by deporting some of our own citizens straight into Richard or wherever it is? That we can start the problem. of course it could be escalated if you follow it that way. By the way, Peter Obi, well, I must tell you this. Do you know that since Radio Biafra has been on air, AIT lately are now reporting whatever we say on Radio Biafra today, they report it tomorrow.
Are you serious?
They are now catching up. I am telling you, this, the director, AIT is now catching up with Radio Biafra. What the AIT does, they only tell you the obituaries. All the people that are doing parties and those who are seconding them and those who are marrying to who, they will never report anything happening to the Biafrans. Since Radio Biafra has been gaining popularity and priority, AIT is now reporting every new. What we are talking today, you will hear it on AIT tomorrow. This 2.5 billion by the Dantuma, you will hear it on AIT tomorrow, mark my words. They are now catching up on Radio Biafra. And I tell you, even Peter Obi himself is now dancing to the tone of Radio Biafra. I hope he carries on.
No, so that at least, no. I want him to dance that dance and dance into the River Niger and drown. I want him to dance that dance into his grave and recover.
Director,
I can never forget.
Director,
yes.
You said yesterday, if your people upset you and apologize, that they will be forgiven. Remember the guy who claimed to be our own person?
Yes.
He aired yesterday. And before the end of the program, he texted to apologize.
He sent three texts.
That was perfectly accepted.
He has sent he has sent two more text messages after that, also apologizing and reaffirming his belief in being.
Thank you, Director.
So, he's a killer.
Which means, he is now remorsed. The Bible says a subtle mind makes the heart go asunder. So if your brother or your sister offended you and come for apologies, of course you will. If Peter Obi carries on from now on to become a repented guy, we will welcome him back into Biafra. But not until he releases the information about the autopsy on those guys drowned in and killed in this river. So there are things that we cannot forget. And there are things that we can try to maneuver and cover up diplomatically. There are areas we don't go. But Director, I tell you, I am excited. What is coming on today, and according to the news, is exciting me. Unlike yesterday when I nearly exploded, which in fact, it's not your intervention, I nearly went.
Please don't explode. You should be the one trying to stop me from exploding. You see, out of all these things, I remain very calm, you see. I'm not the one exploding. Thank you very much. Barrister, stay where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on the phone. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your phone, your name, not your phone number. We have it already. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Hello, good evening, Director. Good morning or good afternoon, all the Biafran people. And my name is Chinedu, calling from Holland. I have given my name before or after speaking to Carol Mundi.
Yes, Yes,
she told me to coordinate. I can be the person to coordinate. I've been working on it. You know, it's what all people know, but a lot of people, when they hear a lot of shows face, they call, and after, you know, they'll be going back, they are afraid. But I'm going to give my number again on air, because a friend told me that somebody called yesterday from Holland here. I want to give my number again, so you can announce to anyone calling from Holland.
Yes.
So they can contact me, because we are planning to be together on Sunday.
Yes.
Here to know what we can do. Please, I am calling for anyone in Holland who are hearing my number now or my name. Please contact me. My number is 00-31-68-44-33-046. I repeat, 00-31-68-44-33-046. Please contact me so we can do something for our country, because a lot of things are going wrong. We don't need to be afraid of our enemy, because as yesterday I was trying to call Radio Biafra, even every day I tried it, the line is so busy. I heard what Barrister Imam Masjid said day before yesterday. Let people do not see it this way, that what is going on in Nigeria does not relate to their relatives, because nobody knows what will happen tomorrow. Please come out. Let us be the one that will bring out the real history of our country. Please, our enemy can never tell good of us. I heard some evil people try to side on Yoruba people because they have brainwashed them. Please, I'm calling anyone that has the blood of Biafra in him. Come out boldly. Nobody will kill you. Nobody will sacrifice for your good. You will fight for it. Nobody will do it for you. If you are waiting for America, for Britain, for Germany, who is on this earth, we are going nowhere. There will be no future for us. There will be no future for our children. As you people can see what is going on in Nigeria, they deport Igbos, they kill Igbos. None of our governors is talking about. Please, I want to please for anyone hearing my voice, forget about our governors. They will never one day come out. These people are agents of darkness to destroy Igbo land. Come out, please. Be one of the chosen one. Never look around and you'll be waiting when Ojo Kano will be at the front or Wadifo will be at the front. Please choose yourself. When you touch your heart, don't wait, is what I'm saying. Please contact me. We are planning to be together on Sunday so you can be part of us, as you can be part of the good idea or in contribution, whatever, to make our home country good and for every one of us, even our children to come. I thank you so much, Director. I keep hearing your voice always. What I want to say, Director, from what happened yesterday, the guy who was talking, trying to defend the Yoruba people, saying you shouldn't say, Director, I want to say something. In Igbo land, you have a lot of girls. They call some Okrosha, some call Uru. It's only those that know what they beating, playing, can dance the music. We are back at your back. If you like speaking tongue, whatever you like to say, don't apologize any Yoruba, don't apologize any Hausa at all, and whatever, whatever you like to say, a hungry man is always an angry man. We know the language you are speaking. We are at your back, whether good or bad, they like it or not. This is what I want to say. Thank you, Director. Thank you, Director Mamazu, and thank you, Uche, also, and all the rest of Biafra Radio board members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was Chinedu from Holland. The number, once again, is +31 68 443 3076. What we need is only 10 people. Even 10 is too much. Awesome. Yes, so sorry.
No, the number was +31 68 443 3046.
That's it, yeah. What did I say?
You said 7-6 at the end.
It's 4.
It's definitely 4-6.
It's 4-6.
Let's get it right. Any problems, let us know.
Yes, okay? It's +31 68 443 3046. Yeah. I repeat, +31 68 443 3046. We also have Dr. Egemba on the line. We have Dr. Egemba, but before we go to him, let's take this call from Skype, please. Give us your name and where you are. The caller on Skype, your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra. Hello? Can you hear me? They are not listening. We say the same thing over and over again. They don't listen. Please, let us try again. Are you listening now? Hello? No, they're not. Please, Doctor, if you're there, go ahead. This is Radio Biafra. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Nande, and I just want to express my gratitude to you and all people in Biafra all over who spent their time to listen and contribute to the program. Just like every other person is annoyed, I am, in fact, at times I try to get myself and my thoughts together in order to make meaningful to express myself. You see, I won't be long. The issue of kerosene and fuel scarcity and the lack of electricity it is a man-made problem. The federal government is, it is a planned, a carefully planned and executed ploy to make the life of the poorest of the poor miserable. Who uses kerosene? Of course, it's the, that is the cheapest fuel the poorest in the society can afford. And remember, whenever you hear these scarcities, it is mainly within Biafran territory. It is mainly, if not only, in Biafran territory. And maybe sometimes, episodically, they try to balance it up in some territories in the west. I've not heard, our listeners are all over, if those who are not listening directly, those who are listening directly or receiving news from home, please tell us, where, which area of northern Nigeria do you have a regular report of fuel and kerosene scarcities? Please call and debunk what you are saying. So when we say that these are carefully planned and executed to punish the poorest of the poor, our people think that we are Islamic, we are causing problem. Of course, we want to cause problem. We want to inflame. Let people, let that cuisine that is scarcity, let it to the pipe, carry it to the north. The pipe carrying fuel, to, you know, let it explode, let everywhere be on fire. What type of life is this? Instead of us to people to live in this misery, is it not possible that if it is possible for God to send this to destroy that person, let everybody die, then you know that nobody is living. But the parents of the poor will be subjected to this endless hardship. I mean, when someone is trying to eke out a living, they manage to get the basic minimum to eat, but they cannot get the basic minimum fuel to cook it and eat. What sort of punishment is this? And now, I want you also, our listeners also, to bear in mind that this so-called ASU, whatever strike by the University Lecturers, Association of University Lecturers, whatever the correct name is, it is also not ordinary. It is also planned and executed by the private university operators in Nigeria. And who are these private university operators? Most of them are run by the Pentecostal churches. Name them. They have all got their own universities. Some of them have two. Name any Pentecostal church in Nigeria. They all have universities, private universities. And most of these are located in many parts of the country and also in the different territories. And who are these? So they are making ASU, they are causing the strike to get so that people will be forced to patronize them. You see, so you know that people are so much eager for their people to, for their children to get the best of what they didn't have. So instead of them not to, instead of them spending, just as the children have said, instead of spending a university course, a standard university course in countries of the world is like only 3 years. Okay, in Nigeria, most of them are 4 years, most of them are 5 years, a standard. But before you graduate, because of strike, another 2 years are added on top of it. And these are at a very great cost to parents. They don't care. So, because parents want the best for their children, so instead of continuing to spend money on strike and nothing comes at all, they will be forced to. They will be forced. The answer is they will be forced, at a very great expense, to send their children to these private universities where the fees are exorbitantly, very exorbitant. We are talking from 300,000 and above. Now, is it affordable? No. Can they afford it? They will go at a great expense for the family to make sure that they are formed. So these are all planned and executed. Fuel scarcity and the absolute strike. Regular. Why is it regular? Why is it every year? Why can't a solution be found? No, because somebody is benefiting from the misery of the poorest of the poor, and God will punish them. And let me add here quickly, please, if I may. There is something, it is out of the headline, but I've got it somewhere. Director, you may have come across it, that Imo State Governor, the Governor of Imo State, has pledged to help fund the 1,000-bed space
in the University of Ibadan. The University of Ibadan have once they built a 1,000 bed space hostel in for their postgraduate students, and the governor of Imo State has pledged to do everything possible to make sure that the dream is realized in Ibadan. Now we have Imo State University. The question is, what are the facilities you have in Imo State University? Let me say this in English. You have to accommodate yourself first. You cannot be homeless and you are providing accommodation to someone else. It is immoral. It is wickedness. Look at the culture. Whoever is listening, if he is listening or his bodyguard or anybody that is listening to this, advise Russia's conscience, who said that he will die being a one Nigeria, that he will do everything possible to be a one Nigeria, that he is passionate about being a one Nigeria. Good luck to you. But do not do it at the expense of Igbo people. Do not do it at the expense of Biafran people. Do not do it at the expense of the people who made everything possible to make sure that you are elected governor. You are elected to protect the interests of Igbo State people, not outside that. Yes, even if there are Igbo State people, Igbo people in the University of Ibadan, there are also Yoruba people, even if it is one or two in the university, in Igbo State and across the Igbo land. We are cheating the before the gallery tells Rocha Sokorocha, and it's me, Lomana Mapo, Mama. Anyway, you can go back with it. So, you have to rethink that it's a lot of things you are doing wrong in Igbo State. A lot of things you are doing wrong. You have used the hospitals of in Igbo State to mortgage our future, to borrow money from Islamic Bank. Many people don't see anything wrong in it. Radio Biafra and majority of Igbo State people, Igbo people, see something absolutely wrong in it. There is everything wrong in it. Whatever you are doing it to advance your political cause. You want to be the vice president of Nigeria under an Hausa person. It will not work for you. Anybody listening to this, please advise Rocha Sokorocha to go through the Marama before left Wanama. Imo State University is not the best funded in the country. Use the resources of the state to fund Imo State University. Provide the amenities for them before, when they have had enough. And listen, your brother has invested 2.5 billion in Ahmadu Bello. Did he invest it in Imo State? Yes, I said your brother Danjuma. You know what I mean by that. He has invested money, but he didn't invest it in Imo State. Why didn't he come to Imo State? Why you don't you have is Imo State not the under your so called one Nigeria, and you are going to invest in other people? If your ass is open, you do not cover the ass of another person who corrupts, shine your eyes. So that's what I want to contribute for now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Dr. Gemba. Thank you. We also have Chukwu Ebunezi on the phone. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, please go ahead. What would you like to say? Go ahead.
Yeah, Director, I want to touch on for today's topics on the deportation of Igbos from Lagos, the kerosene issue, the donation of billions or trillions of money by Danjuma, and the attitude of Igbos to their predicament. Starting with the deportation of the Igbos, and one of our brothers talked of retaliation about deporting Yorubas from. There's not a lot of Yorubas in the East, because most of them are not actually outside their own region. So the issue of deporting them back to their own area doesn't even arise. The thing is that we are not actually developing our own area. We prefer to develop other people's area. We are living outside our own region. We are not seeking the economic balance towards our own area. Our attitude of the our own people is rather very, very appalling. I don't know how to describe it, but it can be ratified in a way. Another one I want to talk about is the kerosene issue. It has been a long, lingering situation in Nigeria, this kerosene thing. The thing is that there's no operating refinery that exists in Nigeria, and they have been intentionally sabotaging those refineries and then using the oil refinery abroad to refine those things and then sell them to Nigeria. You know, everything they are doing is subjugated against Nigeria. Nobody, no single leader in Nigeria believes in that country. Nigeria is a country, a free-willing country, where everyone behaves as they like. So the Nigeria is a fake nation. A fake nation. Coming to Danjuma. Danjuma is either people who fought the war. They have been changing buttons from one person to the other. They check the history of the war. They have been the same people that fought the war, handing one button from one person to the other, one person to the other, one person to the other. They, from Obata to Mohammed, to you name them. Even the one that died in office, the last one that died before King Jonathan. It was because of his brother that he became a state. We had the one to compensate his brother, and they decided to make him a president. It's the same thing. Now we are paying the price of the civil war. We are still paying it. Another thing is that that's speed of Igbo people. That's speed of our people for their own predicament. We have become a downtrodden people, a rag for wiping the ground. It is because they have no respect for an Igbo man anymore, because we have not made them to understand that we don't like the way they're treating us. So it is us that have made the situation worse for ourselves, because we have not stood up for our own rights. So now, as Radio Biafra, we are going to stand up for our rights, and we are going to tell them that whatever that we deserve, we will get. And we are going to fight it to the last drop of our blood. As we have reason, we will not stop if they think that we will just quit there, they haven't even seen anything yet. What happened in 1967, or up to 1970, compared to what is going to come? Because this time around, it's 2013. And 2013.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. We seem to have lost Chukwune Ebunyeze. I don't know what happened. Please, we ask him to try and call us back. Please, if you're joining us, that this is Radio Biafra. We're coming to you from London. Radio Biafra is on air every evening, 7 p.m. We run from 7 to 9, sometimes to 10 p.m., depending on the volume of interest we are getting relating to any subject matter that we may be covering. I am Nnamdi Kanu once again, and I have with me in the studio, dear sister. Carol is here, and we have Barrister Mamezu on the line, and also our dear sister Chidera Akabu from Johnson City in Tennessee, United States. Let's take this call. Give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra. Your name and where you are, please.
Hello, good afternoon. My name is Joseph. I'm calling from St. Martin.
Just Radio Biafra. There we are. Thank you very much for calling. This is Radio Biafra. Go ahead, please. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a few comments to make regarding today's today's topics that we are looking at. First and foremost, when we talk, I want to talk about the kerosene issue. Now, the kerosene shortage is not affecting northern Nigeria at all. It's only in the Biafra, the southern part. And one of the reasons for this shortage is because all the emirs in the zoo, all the emirs living in that cemetery, they have allocation coming from the federal government. They have oil allocation. This is not the oil blocks. They have allocation that any day the oil is refined, they have at least a tanker or two tankers loading either fuel or loading kerosene for them. That's why when you come to the southern part, the Biafra in particular, you have a shortages of this product. And then in the northern Nigeria, you don't have no shortages at all. How many times have you seen people queue up in Kaduna or Kano looking for gasoline? The answer is no, because last year when I went to Nigeria, we were traveling from Nsukka to Abuja, and then there were a lot of scarcity of petrol in the northern part and the eastern part. And then when we get to Lokoja, there was no scarcity of the product at all. So that's the problem. That's what we are going through in that zoo of a country. And I want to touch briefly on the Danjuma. Danjuma is trying to buy favor, because Danjuma knows that this country is going to disintegrate very soon. And the people that will pay the brunt of everything, when Biafra must have realized their sovereignty, the people that will suffer most are the Taraba people, which the Fox, his Chikunin tribe, They are not wanted in the northern part of Nigeria. They are just rags. They are just being used to oil whatever the northerners believe in. So he's just trying to buy favor for him to be saved when the war starts. So Danjuma is a criminal. Danjuma is a thief. Is a murderer. And we are waiting patiently for him to come and campaign in a way. So we are going to slaughter him, and then we are going to feed his body to the birds. So that's what is happening. He's trying to buy favor. Danjuma is trying to buy favor. But I want to speak to Biafrans, those that know they are Biafrans. The war, whether you like it or not, has not ended. The battle may be ended, but the war, we have to fight until we achieve our republic. The problem I have is not mainly for other Nigerians. The problem I have in particular is with the Biafrans. We are talking about our republic, and somebody will call and say we should respect Yoruba people. Let me tell you, I have a good friends of Yorubas, but when it comes to issue of Biafra, when it comes to Biafra, nobody should joke with Biafra at all. Nobody should even make any silly comments. That's why, Nnamdi, I think it's time for you to begin to censor this program. Please, if you know the people that will cause us more pain when they talk, cut them off, myself inclusive. Because there are things the people talk, and I feel like fighting even my family here. I feel like slaughtering many people that I see here, because these people, they don't know the pain they cause us when they talk stupid on this radio station. This radio station belongs to Biafran people, belongs to 3.5 million people that we are massacred. And somebody will be talking anything on this radio station. Man, please start to censor this. I am begging you, because somebody will kill somebody. Nana Mas Malaga will not see you. Malaga will not see you. You continue with this.
Don't kill anybody.
This is what but this guy will come. I don't want, if I personally, if people like Rocha, I really don't want to hear their name on this radio station.
I agree with
this
you.
This radio station is hallowed.
Yes.
In fact, I have chosen to call his name is Rapu, not Rogers. It's Rapu or Omar. That is his name. He's an Hausa man. He's propagating the Hausa, whatever Hausa have told him. I heard that he went to US and telling them that APC is going to protect the interest of his tribe. I don't know which tribe he is referring to, whether the Plateau people.
It's Plateau people. He's referring to Plateau. Stay where you are. Let's bring this caller in. There is a caller on Skype. Please give us your name and where you are. Please, the caller on Skype, give us your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
Hello. Yes. Yes. Can I go on?
Yeah, go on, please. We are listening. So is the whole world. Please go on. We are listening to you, your voice. Please go on. We are waiting. Go ahead.
Yes. I want to respond to some of the issues that have been raised, because I live here in Biafra land, in Igbo land.
What is your name? What is your name?
My name is Obidimma Ako.
Where are you calling from? This is Radio Biafra. Where are you calling from? No, they can't tell us because they're afraid. And we don't entertain cowards on Radio Biafra. We don't entertain cowards on Radio Biafra for the sake of Christ. This is Radio Biafra. We are not afraid here, please. We don't need cowards to call Radio Biafra. If you're not strong enough to call us, please go and listen to AIT or NTA, because what we are reporting today and our perspectives, the way we analyze it, AIT will try to do the same tomorrow, as Emmanuel told us. If you don't want your name to be known or where you're calling from, please go and look for alternative platforms. This is Radio Biafra. Please be kind enough to give us your name and where you're calling from. Please, your name and where you are.
Hello, Mr. Nnamdi.
Yes. Go ahead. Give us your name and where you are.
My name is Uche, calling from Malaysia.
Uche from Malaysia. Malaysians are great people. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Actually, I want to give a piece of advice to our brothers today. I pick interest in so many things we are saying here, but my own advice is that I want to urge our Igbo brothers to go back home to invest. Even some of us are calling here, most of them have lands in Lagos. When they want to invest, they don't focus their mind on Biafran land, which is very, very bad. if anything have to happen today, will be the worst casualty in terms of investment to have outside the Igbo offshore.
My brother, you need to turn your system off. When you turn, I like what you're saying. When you turn your system off, you call us back, please. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you are. The caller on Skype, your name and where you are. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I can hear you, director.
Speak to me via Skype, please. Not your system. Speak to us via Skype. Give us your name and where you are, please.
Hello, director.
That is the problem we are facing. If you are speaking to us via Skype, it should be a very easy connection. It shouldn't be complicated. But if you want to hear your voice via another system, it becomes very, very difficult. We are grateful to everybody who is mobilizing everywhere on this planet to ensure that the message of Biafra gets across to all our people, wherever they may live. We know those who are making things possible, those who are organizing, those who are arranging, those who are trying as much as they can to ensure that this message that we are propagating here gets to everywhere. Yes, Carol, there are some things you want to clarify for me. What are those?
Was the comment about Peter Obi and saying that if you forgive him, he's in his counting house counting all your money. That is my new expression for Mr. Obi, because he holds the people's money in his bank, in the Fidelity Bank, and he lives off the interest of that. The interest is so high that when you want a farmer's fund, you can't get one, because the criteria to get one is so high, it's just not going to happen. And where is that money that was put for farmers? It's sitting in that bank and he's living off the interest. The money went into the bank for the floods, and he reaped interest off of it. This is what Peter Obi does, and you want to forgive him and allow him to be in Biafra. I think he has to count out that money to the people first.
It's incredible. It is incredible. We also have a picture. I think somebody posted a picture. I don't know if this is... It's on the Radio Biafra Facebook group of this very fine soldier and a very brave gentleman, Lieutenant Colonel Rolf Steiner, who fought for our freedom many, many years ago. These are some of the people that came to fight for us. You know, there's something that a lot of people don't know. Barrister Imam Mezu will be able to come in a short while. Barrister, you will join me in a short while on this very topic that I want to introduce. And the caller on Skype, remain where you are. The caller on Skype, stay where you are. We'll come to you in a second. Stay where you are. We will come to you in a second, please.
Yes, director, what did you say, please?
It's about, a lot of people don't know they have iPhone, they have iPad, they have iPad Nano, they have this, they have that, they have this and the other. They have never inquired about the history of the man that invented all these appliances or all these wonderful gadgets that we use and love so much. The reason why I'm saying this is for the so-called Nigerians, people who are Igbo or answer Igbo names and they say they are Nigerian, please leave me and Nigeria alone. We are reminding them today, in case they don't know, that each time you lift up an iPad or iPhone, that you are looking at an invention that was inspired by the harrowing experience of this very man during the very time we are fighting for our national survival. You see, Steve Jobs stopped believing in God. Not in God, he stopped believing in Christianity, the version that he was raised with. Do you know why?
Go ahead.
Do you know why Steve Jobs left the church he was going to? Do you know why?
No, go ahead.
Do you know why he stopped reading the Bible? It is because he said that God cannot be in heaven and children are dying like flies in Biafra.
Because of the
suffering of our people, the man who invented iPad, iPhone, all these things that people love so much, the entire Apple product, saw the Biafran children dying and the whole world keeping quiet. He said there is no God, that God cannot be alive and poor innocent children will be dying. The reason why I'm saying this is because people don't understand what is propelling us forward. People don't understand. When people sometimes question our motive, when people sometimes try to doubt our devotion to this cause, I pity them. It reminds me of what some people used to say in Europe, that Africans are monkeys. It reminds me, I look at them and I think that these people, their brain cells, is one or two genes short of full development. Biafra
Director.
Is sacred. Yes, but yes, yes.
You know what my mom always tells me? She says that a tortoise can never remain a young animal all the time. The last time the Nigerian Biafra war ended, how many years ago? And we cannot, all of us, again, my mom always tell me, I quote my mom because the woman taught me all the proverbs I know. She says, when you plant 10 yams, all those 10 yams will not die. At least one will germinate. At least one. How many years Nigerian Biafra war has been fought? Forgotten, like our brother was saying yesterday, we should just forget it. We sprang up 2009, Director, in order to bring back our base, our home, our righteous sovereignty nation known as Biafra. And Director, I tell you, nothing will ever stop this materializing. When I say nothing, a tortoise cannot remain a young man forever. We are grown. We have seen it all. All the problems that the Northerners and the Yorubas are giving us is all in our hands. We have seen everything. A man will say, please don't blow. We don't see foul gash. That's where I stop.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. If you're joining us once again, this is Radio Biafra. Every evening you can get us via www.radiobiafra.co. Tell your friends, it's very important. After the program, you can go to Radio Biafra website and email it to your friend. You don't need to do anything. You see all the things you need to be able to email the broadcast to you. So you can send it direct to the inbox of your friends on Facebook. So that when they click on it, they can open it and see it. If you have any advice to give us, if you have any caution, anything at all you want to tell us, please. Our email address is very simple. One, contact@radiobiafralondon.com. Contact. contact contact@radiobiafralondon.com or info@radiobiafralondon.com. Wherever you are, please, on this planet, we only have one mission: to get Biafra, nothing more, nothing less. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, your name and where you are.
Yeah, I'm calling from Senegal.
From Senegal, give us your name, please.
Yeah, my name is Tanya Madin from Imo State.
Go ahead. We're listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was listening to the program yesterday, you know, and I really enjoyed the program. Today, you know, I'm trying to connect again today, but unfortunately, I did not get you online, so I don't know.
So, what would you like to say based on what you heard yesterday? What do you want to say?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very, very impressed, you know, for the what we are hearing here. Even I have met some of my friends on Facebook, you understand?
Yes.
Yeah, I shared the Radio Biafra to everybody, all my friends, and, you know, they have joined the team, you know, and they were very, very happy about it.
That is what we want you to continue doing. Continue to spread the news. A lot of people are complacent. A lot of people are sleeping. Yeah. They think when they sleep, Biafra will come. They think when they wish it, Biafra will come. People come on Facebook and say, if you're a Biafran, say amen. People write amen, amen, amen. That is not what we are there for. We are there to do some brainstorming, bring out ideas and pursue it. We are there to make sure that the news we are broadcasting gets to our people at home. The way we can do that is via a transmitter. If we had our transmitter at home, even our brothers in Senegal will be able to hear us, because they can just tune in their radio, they'll be able to hear us. Everybody outside Africa is able to receive very clear coverage, very clear streaming and transmission. There is no problem. If you are in Africa, it's a different thing altogether, because there the telecommunication is not highly developed. Today we are bringing you news that the Sultan of Sokoto has commiserated with the dead journalist that died in a motor accident, but has not found time to commiserate with thousands of Igbos slaughtered. Ask yourself a question. Everybody that believes in the governors that come from Igboland, everybody who believes in Ohanaeze, everybody who is happy in the useless contraption called Nigeria, Where are the dead bodies of your people killed in the Kano bombing? It's very simple. Where are their dead bodies? They are in mass graves in the north. How can they forgive us? How can the people in the grave? Akwụkwọ nsọ mere ka o wee anyị anya na mgbe Cain gburu Abel, ajụọ Cain sị ya ka ebe nwanne gị nọ n'ihi na ọbara ya na-etikpu n'ọzara. What happened to the blood of our people that was shed in Nigeria? 3.5 million and counting. Do you think that their spirit will ever rest? Don't you know that it is their spirit that is troubling us all over the world, wherever we go to? Do you think you can have unity when you have not made peace with the dead? That is why every Igbo meeting divides. I don't care where they are. Anywhere, even including people that attempted at Radio Biafra. If you see something working very well for Igbo people, for Biafran people, anywhere in the world, I ask you to give it 12 months. Satan will always come. Satan will come in ways you never, ever, ever, ever expected to happen. Ask yourself, why is that happening? Because the people that died, we have not honored them. We have not respected them. Ordinary memorial service, there is none. Ordinary monument, there is none. It's as if they never existed. These are the people massacred by Hausa men and Fulani, Yoruba stabbed us to death. No one has been brave enough. All the useless, hopeless Hausa people parading themselves as governors has said anything about it. And you think we have peace in Igboland? People think that things, all of a sudden, please go to Pentecostal church. Things will, no, it will get worse. Because we have not followed the correct sequence in order to assuage the memory of the dead. We are not worshiping spirits, no. Even white people have it every year. You see, they gave us the Bible. Chineke Merendi Shoji Ebere. They gave us the Bible. Every year, on the 11th second, past the 11th minute, past the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month of every year, at a place called the Cenotaph, they built something, a tomb to the people that fell in service to their country. They remember them, they pray, and they ask God to grant them eternal rest and eternal peace because they were fighting to defend their country. What have we done? We are busy sending money home. We are busy gossiping like a bunch of useless people. We are busy writing nonsense on Facebook. Is that going to give us Biafra? It won't give us Biafra. We need to do the correct things. Let us pray and ask for forgiveness, not only from God in heaven, but from those who are lying in unmarked graves all over the place, including those killed by Peter Obi. Let us pray that they may forgive us and allow us to get Biafra, that we will honor them. But they should allow us to first of all go and get Biafra, because without Biafra, we cannot give them the befitting burial they deserve. It is called Okoko, where we come from, the second burial. In the churches, they call it memorial service, to remember somebody that died. All those things are gone. In the olden days in Igbo land, you will have somebody, when you lose your wife or your husband, you wear black and black for 1 year. Do you know these days they bury somebody on Saturday, on Sunday they go and do Thanksgiving? We commit abomination upon abomination every blessed day. And you're wondering why we are in disunity. When you are the cause of it. Because our land is spiritual. Everything you do comes back to you. Is natural. Everything you do will always come back to you. If you don't honor the dead, the life of the living becomes meaningless. That is why we are not united. It's a very simple thing. It's a trick. Every Igbo meeting in the world is split into two. There are 3, 4, 5 factions. Go and name the meeting. They are fighting. That is why we need to build Biafra on very solid foundation. That is why we say to them that we are going to get Biafra. Not just get Biafra, but in truth and honesty. We are appealing to God in heaven Chukwu Abiama, the maker of the heavens and the earth, to please give us Biafra, that the world may know that he exists. We will use Biafra to worship him forever and ever. That's what we're asking for. We're not going to use Biafra to start tolerating all manner of rubbish. No. It will be built as a temple, as a dwelling place of the Most High. And we use it to worship him. We don't care who you are. If you don't like it, you can migrate to the Islamic countries and live there. But some things will not come to the house of God. They won't come. They made that mistake somewhere else. We will not allow it to happen to us. That this is Radio Biafra. Yes, Carol, what are your observations? What are you reading? What is happening? I understand we have surpassed 75,000 on Facebook. Is that correct?
Yes, the Facebook is getting busier and busier, and some people are adding constantly now, and that's the way forward, to keep pushing it through the forum. If we add to Facebook, then we need to aim for millions so that we can have the Million Man March. The Facebook is getting quite topical, and we've had Arthur Pereira, I can't pronounce his name, but he's Portuguese, isn't it? He was commenting. He actually wrote the post about the lieutenant that you commented on a minute ago.
It was Arthur Pereira that wrote it. That is wonderful. That was our
and he is with us. He contacted me today in privately and asked us to support with Radio Biafra.
Wonderful. We are doing a marvelous job. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let's take this call. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype. Your name and where you are. We have somebody on Skype who is not speaking. It could be that the system is faulty on your side, not on our side, because everything is working very well. We are not using a generator here. It is working. We are in England where things are working. Perhaps it is oil from Biafra that is powering all the electricity that we are looking at. Who knows? Of course, they will tell us that they have oil in the North Sea. But we don't have the use of generator here. Things are working very well. But I want us to be able to reconsider our individual consciousness and ask ourselves, why is it that every Igbo meeting is split into two? And let me start by asking Barrister Mamezu once again. Please, Barrister Mamezu, could you be kind enough to tell me what class of citizenship are we in the zoo? Because I consider it to be 10th class. But mind you, there is nobody between 5th class and 9th class. So there is a very huge gap between the last people and us as a race. I don't know where you put us.
Director, I would please like you to fly down by me once again.
We are 10th class citizens in the Zoological Republic. There is 1st class, there is 2nd class, there is 3rd class, there is 4th class. But there is nobody in 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. It's all empty. And then we took the 10th position. That is where we are. Because if we are not number 10, 10th class citizen in that country, why would they kill you in the north and no northern traditional ruler has apologized? Even the Nigerian presidency have not stood up to announce to the world to say, these are the people being killed. President Goodluck Jonathan has never visited Igbo land to say, this area is being afflicted with this monstrous disaster. If it's anywhere else in the world, you will see President Obama go there, or David Cameron, or whoever will go there, to at least to go to one of the families to say, what happened to you is not good, we are looking at it. Have they done that? The answer is no. And because we have done nothing, this is how nature works. It's like bullying. If you go to school and see a child who is being bullied, or if you're a victim of bullying, anytime they come at you and you keep quiet and you keep running, they keep stealing your pencil, they steal your pocket money, they keep stealing from you until the day you decide to fight back. Any day you fight back, that bullying will stop. They will respect you. Now, because they are killing us and bullying us all over the place, they chased us into Yoruba Pentecostal churches where they have even turned us into the brand of cowards. We can't do anything. We are now docile. Now tell me what would have happened to our people if not for Radio Biafra. Can anybody begin to imagine how you call our people together? That is why we said that what we are doing must be anchored on truth and honesty. Because with truth and honesty, believe you me, no meeting can break. If you found your meeting on truth and honesty, it can never, you don't have to worry about unity. Because unity will be the foundation of it. Because you have one thing that nobody else has. That is the truth.
Director, let me take the bull by the horn. You see, we are first class citizens in that particular country. And I'll tell you why. One of my uncles, he's a musician, he is known as Peacocks if you remember the song that they always sing,
yes.
There was a song he sang, he says, that is, if somebody is a fool or somebody you call a fool, you're supposed to not be envious of that person. So when you're envious of somebody, that person knows more than you, that person is better than you, that person is more class than you. That's why you are envying that person. The reason why we are in the situation we are is because the Yorubas and the Hausas do not want us to rise up. There was a guy recently, an Igbo guy, who built a car. When I say a car, mechanical propelled vehicle. An Igbo guy. He will not be sponsored. And this guy is not even been sponsored up to now. An Igbo guy. 1984, my only old brother built a radio station, moved IBS from its particular territory. IBS came to our compound, investigate who is this person that moved them away from their territory. Director, since your lifetime, have you heard a Yoruba man has manufactured something or a Hausa man has manufactured anything? Zero. The reason why they are afraid of what
they have barrister, they have manufactured something.
What is it?
Death and bombs to kill people.
Director, please, let's be serious here. They haven't got that technology. Biafrans are born with the brains. We can do anything. We can anything. Because you always tell people we don't need oil. And they think that you're kidding. We really do not need oil. Biafrans can survive. What happened to the Nigerian Biafran war? Supported by British, supported by Americans, supported by Russia, supported by Egyptians. We are manufacturing our own Obunigwe, Ojukwu Bucket, Saretka. All those things, the Biafrans were doing it by themselves on their own alone. Director, time is, look, the Dusse history does repeat itself. We are going back to our fatherland and all these things will be repeated. They can put us in any class, but I tell you, whatever class we are, that's what we are, and it cannot be changed, it will not be changed. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. We are then class zero because we don't belong in Nigeria to start with. That is seems to be the point that you're making, which I wholeheartedly subscribe to, that we are better. Of course, we are better than them. And they brought us leech. I will tell the story. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. We are overrunning, but it doesn't matter. This is our station. Your name and where you are, please, on Skype.
Yeah, go ahead. My name is Eric.
That's Eric. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from Denmark.
From Denmark, please go ahead.
Yeah, I tried to got in touch yesterday, but the network was very busy.
Yes, millions of people listen to Radio Biafra.
What I'm trying to say is about our people that normally donate in the church. Yeah, my own point of view, it is not bad to give, but what is not good is the way our people do it. The only belief that the only time that God will answer their prayer or God will reward them is when they give in the church. We see some people, their neighbors, they will not have food to eat, no clothing, nothing. And instead of them to help their neighbor, they prefer going to the church. This is madness. Bible says, give, it shall be given unto you. Bible does not say that we should only give in the church. So I'm advising our people to please help their neighbors. If you give to your neighbor, so God will bless you than even giving to those people that have in abundance. Thank you, Nandi, and God bless you.
Thank you, my dear brother. Thank you very, very much. I am honored. Let's take this call. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on the phone. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Hello?
Yes, give us your name and where you are. This is Radio Biafra.
Yeah, my name is Nambi Nwaze from London.
Yes, please, go ahead. Go ahead. We are listening.
No, I'm very, very happy for you, Director, and that today you can have another Oko condom of 1986 and 1969.
Thank you.
Okokondom of 1969.
Thank you.
Then the Biafra.
Thank you. Of course, I'm not worthy to be compared to him, mind you. He was an institution, a legend. Ugokondem was something out of this world. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoelaces. But I'm also...
No, at least it's most boring, but we'll get up to him, you know?
Yes.
So, I'm happy because I've been listening to what you are saying about Biafra. And being an insider to that particular war, then, our problem depends on us. Because our own people is never what people that you can predict.
Yes. You see? Yes.
If we say that we should be one, we should be one. But our problem is that 2, 3, 4 times, one or two will divert.
Yes. And do you know why they divert? Do you know why they... Let's just have this conversation. Do you know why they divert? Because we are running past 9 anyway, and we are continuing. Do you know why we divert from something? Do you know why if I start something with you, if it's going very well, after 6 months is the cutoff mark. After 6 months, I will start thinking very bad or ill of you. Do you know why?
The measures that carried out the key then.
Yes.
And the rest. You see? If Arjun and Benjoko, they contributed the fall of Enugu. Everything, all the stories, I know it. They agreed unanimously to us that the other must stand.
Yes.
Later they diverted. Yes. Okay?
Yes.
The war ended, we fought against ourselves. If we didn't that we are one, that war couldn't have ended like that. You see?
It's lack of truth.
We started killing our own gallant soldiers in the war front.
That is correct.
People, they bought over.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, the packed armies, that's crazy. They said that they kidnapped the Nigerian soldiers. Any prison was filled up with Nigerian soldiers. When they started, they shot gun to them. They started attack there. Yes. How did any force get into their hand? So, what from the city at Oshuka? And any was running. You see?
That is amazing. That is
amazing. I should have been, I remember this story. To me today, say that so this second missionary John, I hope that we must succeed. We must succeed at this second missionary John.
Of course, we must succeed, and I'll tell you why we'll succeed. People don't understand. The reason why we'll succeed is because not everybody, you know, the war we fought was a defensive war. You don't fight a war. It's like living in a castle and people are besieging you. If you have a well-fortified castle and you're under siege, you either come out to confront the enemy to fight the enemy, or they will starve you of supplies until you capitulate and surrender. So the war we fought was a defensive war. And the error that was made was the cutoff at, you know, for us to cut our journey short at Ore and not proceed to Lagos. If we had taken Lagos, we would have succeeded. But for some inexplicable reason, somehow, we stopped at Ore. And that was our undoing. If you can watch, I'm not a military tactician, but I read history. I happen to go to school where people study. They don't go on strike. They allow you to go to the library and study for 24 hours if you want to. One thing I realized is that there has been only one incident in modern warfare where a retreating army later went back to defeat the ones chasing them. It happened when the state of Texas was gotten under General Houston. That is all. The reason why it happened was because Santa Anna, who was the commander of the Mexican forces, was coming. And General Houston reasoned that the only way I can defeat him is to get his army to disintegrate. And I can get them to do that if they're chasing me. So they chased them very, very deep into Texas. And then Houston mounted them a counteroffensive. And that was how these people were defeated. But apart from that, I have read to try to see if there is any time in the history of modern warfare where any retreating army ever survived There is none. Once you retreat and they start pursuing you, that's the end of you. You're finished. You are either offensive. You either go offensive and hold your ground and win the battle or the war, as the case may be, or you retreat and you lose. We retreated, shrank into a very tiny enclave. The war ended in my compound in Omuahia, where Juku Bunka is. That is why it ended. Babangida's and Rangers came into Omuahia, very, very tiny, and it was over. From Ojuku Bunka, our leader took off, and that was the end of the war. Because we fought a defensive war. It wasn't offensive, as simple as that.
Yes. Do you know what happened in that war? You know that within Enugu sector, Oma took money in Enugu sector. And he taught them lesson there. I trust him even tomorrow. After his job is the next person. He continued retreating due to cut off through the 5 battalion we have. There's a leakage through the 5 battalion. You know, they enter through Akeze and through Akeze. That is where they entered Akeze. Another main road. You see?
Yes.
They enter through Akeze. They then attacked the plan that this is to move from Enugu again. They were finished. Even before me, I was standing between Ojuku and Omotegu. Ojuku wanted to go to work from that. Omotegu told him that it's impossible. That just give him time. That before that, give him hours, you know. The problem is for them to move. You see? It's the war between Ojuku and them. When they're trying to move, that's Ojuku did the job. They never moved between Enugu set at all. Not advance through them. Through there. You see?
So you're saying what are you saying is that Enugu sector was not breached throughout the war. Is that what you're saying?
Enugu sector to me is the excellent, that is okay. Enugu sector, Omotegu never retreat. Okay?
That's very good.
I'm very, very sure. Okiva is through all, they come in through all group. They went to Ndiabo, divert again.
But who was the commander in charge of the battalion at defending Okigwe where they outflanked us from? Who was the general? Sorry, who was the commanding officer of our troops at Okigwe?
I can tell you of that S brigade, you know, because I was located at S brigade, 4th, 2nd, and 3rd battalion, such Enugu. That time they came in through Akeze, I was at Utro Akeze on a Rangers training. I've left them already. I trained at Utro Akeze, and things training done already. That particular night with heavy rain fall, we pull at that grade because everywhere they bombard everywhere. They came in through that Utro. We pull up that particular night to Ishikenesi to finish up our training there.
Mm-hmm.
We recalled, okay?
Yes.
About Okigwe sector, I don't know. When they entered, I don't know. I'm not with them again.
Okay. You didn't know who was commanding that very place.
No. But because when I'm at that particular time, you know, Omato was made the brigade commander. He left us to Owerri. Then Atumaka took over. Atumaka was killed 2 weeks. They left the command for him.
Oh, no.
At Lord Banta, Lord Buku, Lord Banta, you know.
Banta, yeah, the same, around that same Okigwe axis, yes?
If you ask me any question, I will just finish it.
Apart from Abagana, that fascinates me a lot because of the bravery and the heroism at Abagana, when we fought these people and we defeated them. At when Nigeria fought us at Abagana, we beat them. Then they cried to the British and to Americans for help. That was when they got help and then started to advance, albeit through some sectors unrestricted. What I want to know is that who led? I want to understand what is the name of the commanding officer that led the recapture or the retaking of Owerri from Nigeria. That is what I want to know. The name of the commanding officer that led the assault at Owerri, that reclaimed Owerri back from the zoo people when Owerri fell for the very first time. I need the name of the commanding officer.
No, because that time, you know, I was told that when Omotegu went there, they let me back, they told us that he pursued them 4 miles square, you know, because I'm not on that axis anyway.
Okay, because we... Go ahead.
I'm not on that axis, you know. We don't know that, we know that when Omotegu left us at Lord Oku, he went to go to Owerri because Owerri was heavily, that heavy fighting there. Atumaka, they left Atumaka. But Atumaka, his assistant then. After 2 weeks, Atumaka was killed.
That's very sad. These are the people that we need to honor. It's a good thing you're telling us this story this night. Go ahead, please.
That is sabotage, you know. This particular man, I'm telling you, I'm not even a houses. Because someone told me, say, this cause human being. They tried to work that first, second, they call them special brigade. Because after the death of Nzongo, you know, they tried to clear all these saboteurs within the battalion. Even the man that broke the bridge, heading to Enugu, being a bridge there, he was instructed that whenever the armored car passes on their front side, let him damage the bridge. The idiot left the armored car, and the armored car finished fighting and go back to Enugu side before he broke the bridge. Oh no, he was killed because he showed that he's a saboteur.
So he didn't carry out instructions, is that correct?
I've
taught in the army that the golden rule is you do what your commanding officer asks you to do. Even if your life is in danger, it doesn't matter. You obey before you complain. If they ask you to perform a particular task, you do it. So why was it that they asked him to dynamite the bridge after the Biafran tank must have crossed, and then he allowed the bridge to continue to allow the enemies to come through? Why would he do that?
Showing that it's a saboteur. Showing that it's a saboteur because that particular tankers don't supposed to go back to Enugu before you damage the bridge. Okay?
That is incredible. Thank you very much. I like this, your lesson. I'm not very vast. I didn't fight the war, but I wish I did. Fight it. The only thing we would like to do is to learn from our experiences of that very war and to
enjoy the past events.
Don't allow it to repeat itself. That's all we're saying. We should not allow that same event to happen. That is why we need to be prepared now, not later. We don't want them to keep killing us and we keep running from the Hausa people and retreating, and then they will use their sleeper cells within Biafra land to forcibly convert us into Islam. By the time we'll be shouting, it will be too late. Because there was something that the Knights Templars found in JC. This is what people don't know. There is a reason as to why. It sounds far-fetched, but it's true. If I tell you that the Roman Catholic Church is working hand in hand with Muslims, you won't believe it. Because it's possible, it is the truth. That is why anywhere in the world, apart from the U.S., because George Bush was the only reason why he behaved that way was because he was going after Saddam Hussein, not Arabs. Remember that the Bush family and the family of the late Al-Qaeda leader, what's his name? Osama bin Laden, were very close. They were business associates. Remember that the same people in America were courting the Taliban. They were all friends. The Taliban would come to Texas and drinking American chocolate and hamburger, having fun.
Yes.
But what people fail to realize is that in this part of the world is that if we expect the West to go against Muslims, it may not happen. That is my fear. It may not happen. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you why. There was something that the Knights Templars discovered at the Temple of Solomon when they went in those days, that they took back to Rome and blackmailed Rome. That thing they showed to Rome is the reason why they cannot come out categorically to condemn anytime Muslims are oppressing Christians anywhere. If you check, but wherever Christians oppress Muslims, they will come out. Go and read it anywhere. I have clear examples. In Bosnia-Herzegovina, Bosnia got its independence before our own eyes in the early 90s. It wasn't very difficult. Go to Kosovo. The same thing happened. If you go to Russia, where Russians are fighting the Chechen in the Caucasus, in the Caucasus Mountains, Americans are against the Russians for fighting Muslims. That goes to show you, but I am telling you that wherever Muslims, there is a fight between Muslims and Christians, as in Biafra, they will side with the Muslims. Go and check your history. They have never
They have never, ever since that discovery was made and showed to the Roman Catholic Church, they have never sided with a, with Christians fighting Muslims, ever. I don't know what
but it, do you know,
go ahead.
But do you know what? It is easier for them to convince Muslims because Muslims, they don't have brain. They can't convince you because you yourself, you know more than, you know more than a white man. You can tell a white man. Okay?
Is that the reason why?
Don't you know? All those people that came that time, the white people that came that time, they know that with the answers, they can do whatever they want. But the people, you know, it's not like that. You're supposed to know this.
Yes, I do in a way, but I didn't.
You're supposed to know this.
I didn't confirm it. You're confirming it now, that, and I have learned something from you. Thank you very much. Yes.
Whether you confirm it or not, they didn't confirm it. That is what it is. They can confirm. No. That's it. I can't convince. You can tell them no. The answer is not famous. With what language? With English. Inform it what man?
But can I ask you a question? If we had gone into that war, considering mm-hmm. that we were predominantly Christians then, if we had gone into that war, and rather than having the tricolor with the rising sun in the middle, and then we went into the battlefield with the Star of David, say with the cross of the Kingdom of Jerusalem, for instance, or say we went in with the cross, you know, the Holy Cross we carry all over the place as we are brought up to do as Christians. Do you think that the so-called Christian Western world would have supported Muslims to defeat an army that is fighting under the cross? Do you think they would have done that?
I know, but you know that our problem mainly depends on us because we are not one. Another one, we have got no ammunition to do the job.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay?
Yes.
The Afghans are they can't bullets. They give you $5-$10 to go to war. How can it happen? Why do they have with the Fatima built by the British? Okay? When they open fire, they finish the magazine and put another one, finish it and put another one. He said, you'll be trying to shoot a fight. They tell you shoot a fight. Does it work?
Only 10 bullets against somebody with over a dozen magazines to reload.
Okay. I'll give you another story. The first brigade attack, the first movement they moved from Enugu heading to heading to Okigwe. The first invade by the time they entered Enugu, the first attack they moved. We counted 91 exploded mortar bombs. 91 exploded mortar bombs. The first morning they wanted to move. They threw 91 mortar bombs to explode. The rest that we not, the rest that we cannot count fell inside water. Because when they fell inside water, with the warhead cannot explode. You can't hear the noise. 91 mortar bombs exploded. So they have it in everything in excess. You yourself in ambush like this when you have all these things. What will you do? You pull off whether you like it or not. Only that leaders with the help of Obunwo, we can withstand them. The second attempt they did, because the cutoff came from Udi, they got at Four Corner, to the same 5 battalion. The second one again was when Ojukwu came, and that was when they did a nice job there. They almost the whole battalion finished, the Vandas. They go back and they couldn't move again, not advance again. Then they go through Ogwu again, the same cutoff system, before we can retreat back. You see, no book wrote this in because they wouldn't allow it to sell. Hello?
We are listening, not only me, the whole world is listening.
Thank you. Anybody that is within that brigade, within that particular time, they know what I'm saying. Okay? They know what I'm saying.
That's amazing. That is amazing. That is how I know when our people are listening attentively, no calls will come in.
That time I'm telling you, I'm not old enough to go to war because I tried to go training 2 times, they sent me back because I'm too small. Okay?
Yes.
I joined the army as a boss company, Ricky Boss, because even if we go to any that particular time to spy, to know the positions of these people. Where they have snappers, we tell their fans that this is this, so they don't go there. There's a snapper there. Okay? We go to up to even 82 division, they can't be there, we went inside there. After moving, we went back, we go back again. We are too small that they can't do anything with us. You see? So we did another job with them. So all these stories, we know it.
And hopefully Biafra will come soon enough for it to be told publicly.
No. This time, that never must stay this time.
We know so. We have the blessing of people like you and Okoroji in Canada, who sometimes anger don't even let him finish a sentence. That is how upset he was. He was a competent soldier. He fought in many sectors and he distinguished himself. Where he showed bravery, he would tell you. Where he would tell you that I couldn't continue, he would say it openly without any fear, because he's human. And that is the type of stories we want to hear. We are very grateful to you for the service you rendered to your country. We are only hoping that we'll be able to live up to what people did, and praying also that we'll have the stomach, the strength, the courage to be able to sustain this struggle until we accomplish it. That is why this is Radio Biafra. There is no other station like it on the face of this earth. We speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You heard from the horse's mouth. We don't believe in recycled information. No. When we tell you something, that is the way it is. Thank you very much, our dear brother. And thank you once again on behalf of all the Biafran people for the service you render to your country. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is Radio Biafra. Let us go to, please, Carol, I know you're about to shoot off. Is that correct?
Yes, it's 20 past 9. It's this time I go back to my family at 9, I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. All right, goodnight, everyone.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Yes, and we also have Chidera. Please, Chidera, what do you make of what you've heard? And also give us your concluding thoughts, please, before we go to Basiman Mezu. Yes, can you hear me, Chidera? Can you hear me? No, she can't hear me, unfortunately. She cannot hear me. Barrister Mamezu, are you with me? Is Barrister Mamezu with me? No, I don't think he is. Is Barrister with me? No, I don't think he is. That brings us to the end of the program. We've all overrun by about 20 minutes. We thank you all for joining us. That this is Radio Biafra. We hope you join us same time again tomorrow. But in the interim, if you know you have not added your friends, please try and do so as quickly as possible. Go to Radio Biafra London. You can ask any of the admin for help on how to do that. If you don't add your friends, when the time comes, you will no longer be a part of us, because we don't want cowards. If you cannot tell your friends about Biafra, how can you fight for Biafra? You can see how our veterans come out in the open, give you their names, where they are living, and narrate to you the experience, and say that they are willing to do it again. These are men that saw hard battle. Talk less of you that's been grown up on Bonvita and Ovaltine. To do something as simple as adding your friends, you can't do it. And yet you tell me you're a Biafran. You fight and die for Biafra. We are bringing the program to an end, and it's been a pleasure having all of you one after the other. Please remember that everything we do is not because we hate anybody, it's because we want to be free. If they have killed your people so many times, nobody has the right to tell you how to grieve. We are God's children on this earth, and let us do everything we can to make our Father in heaven proud of us. The only way you can begin to do that is by listening to Radio Biafra. Join Biafrans wherever they are, and support our initiative. That is the only way we can get Biafra. From me, Nnamdi Kanu, I am saying good night, and God bless all of you. But more importantly, God bless Biafra.
Ibi mena no mo wa gaselele.